And we'll excuse the children to Children's Church. And that's probably the last we'll see of those two ladies going that way. They may survive if they're lucky. There are words that we use that deal with the Bible, and some of them are not in the Bible. And we're going to look at one of those words this morning, because I think it's very, very important, not just to me as your pastor, but it's very important to you as a believer. Very important to you as you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God, his Father. Have you ever heard the expression said to you, or have you ever heard anybody else say it, leave your expectations with the Lord? Leave your expectations with the Lord. The word expectations is not in the Bible. What does that mean? So we're going to look at that this morning, because it is a very, very important part of our Christian life. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says this. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. What do you expect God to do for you today? What do you expect God to do for you today? What do you expect from him for tomorrow? How about the day after? What are you expecting from God in the future? What are you expecting in the future? Which prompts the question, what are your expectations from the Lord? What are your expectations from the Lord? You have some sort of plan that might involve God and things he's going to do for you? Jesus told his disciples that God was going to do certain things for them. Jesus gave them expectations. One of them was that the Holy Spirit was going to come and indwell. He was going to leave so the Holy Spirit could come. And when he left, a few days later, the Holy Spirit did come. And he's been with us ever since, with us as believers, ever since then. They were waiting for that promise. They were expecting that promise to take place. God would fulfill it. God had promised that he would give them the Holy Spirit to guide them, to empower them for service. Jesus told them that they could have expectations concerning God. Do you have expectations concerning God? Are you expecting something from God? And what is it? What part of your life is going to be involved in that expectation? As a baby, you and I didn't have any expectations. Really, not about anything. We didn't understand what life was all about, and so we had no plans other than we wanted to eat when we wanted to eat. We wanted our diaper changed once in a while. We didn't have any expectations. Now we are all adults. And that has changed. Now we are old enough to have certain expectations. Do our expectations have anything to do with God? Or are they something that we expect someone else to carry out? Or are we depending upon ourselves? There are certain things that God has told us in His Word, and we can expect them to be given to us by God. For example, think about your relationship with God. Jesus explained it to His disciples. And folks, though this is a valid part of the New Testament, and it's one that every one of you have read, I'm sure you have, there are some things that we need to think about. This word expectation is a very, very important word to you. You may not realize it yet, but it is. It's a very important word to you. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now, Jesus was talking to His disciples about their expectations. And I will be honest with you. There are times when I have a problem with expectations. And so I want you to see what Jesus has told us. He told His disciples, and in telling His disciples, He was telling us, because it's written down. Luke 2, 12, verse 24 through 28. Verses 24 through 28. And Jesus told His disciples, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Do you think the Bible means what it says? Is God going to feed you, or are you going to feed you? Is God going to clothe you, or are you going to clothe you? Now, there are ways He goes about these things. So, how is God going to provide clothes for you? He might make it possible for you to work and earn money that you can go out and buy those clothes. Same thing with food. He may help you to provide. But what happens if you run out? What happens if there's no money to buy? Is God going to provide it? And folks, there may be some wavering about that, you know, as you're thinking, well, what have I got at home to eat? Well, I've got a can of beans. I don't like beans. Got some corned beef hash. God has already provided for all of us many of the things that we need. And we can have an expectation. Most of the time, we don't. Most of the time, we are busy trying to earn what we call a living. Most of the time. God has already got it figured out in advance for you. He has already figured out how He's going to provide these things for you. And they're there. They're in your home. They're in your pantry. Or they're in your mom's pantry. They're there. If I were to ask you the question, is God going to provide food for, and clothing for you? The answer, of course, you know, is yes. But how is he going to do it? How is he going to do it? Now, he can enable you to work at a job so you can buy clothes from what you earn. And the same thing appears to be true with food. God gives us those things because he knows that we need them. But we're considering what expectations we might have beyond food, clothing, and shelter. We do not have the ability to do those things for ourselves. We do not have that ability, folks. Everything that you are able to do right now, God made it possible for you. You didn't make it possible. God did. Everything. The car you drive, the clothes you wear, the table you sit at to eat the food. God provided every bit of that. Now, he made it, have enabled you to do some things that resulted in you being able to have those things. But it was God. And sometimes he does things, just like Nancy had a problem this week, and she had to go to urgent care. Sometimes God can stop us cold at what we're doing and say, here, I want you to think about me. And suddenly our whole life comes to a screeching halt. And what does that happen? What do we do? We talked about it in Sunday school for just briefly. God, why me? Why me, God? What am I going to do? We then have to determine, do we have expectations for our God? Is he going to provide for us? And how is he going to do that? Now, he can change your entire life around completely. That quick, I can no longer snap my fingers. Okay. He can change our entire life around in a nanosecond, a billionth of a second. Our entire life can change. And we set up our own plans, our own devices, our own way of doing things. But do we set them up based upon expectations from God? Or do we set them up on expectations from self? I'm afraid many times self, this old nature that we have to live with, that's where our expectations are at. Let me ask you, what do you expect God to do with your life? What do you expect God to do with your life? Now, when we were children, we had things we wanted to do and wanted to be when we grew up. I don't know that one of us grew up doing the things we wanted or the things we thought we were going to do. Any firemen in the group? Any police officers? No. Things changed, life changed because of circumstance. And you know who was in control of those circumstances? God was. God was. You are where you are today because of God. Now think about that. Where is he going to take you? What is God going to do with you for the rest of your life? There's more life left. And God has a plan for it. Now, are you going to buck him on your plan or his plan? Which way are we going? For some of us, we're doing what God wants us to do. For some of us, we might know in the back of our minds, there's a little small, still voice inside that's saying, hey, you know, you should be over here, you're over there. So what's it going to be? Your way or God's? You say, well, can't we have both? No, you can't. God's way, God has told us, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. I read my Bible every day. I read 4 different devotions every morning. Why don't I understand or know what God wants to do with my life? Do you know what God is trying to do with your life? Are you seeking answers? As long as we breathe, God has a plan. And if things seem to be in some kind of a turmoil, then maybe God's plan is not being accomplished in your life the way God wants it to be accomplished. Maybe there's something different he wants you to do. And folks, we are all, every one of us, myself included, we are all being molded by God. He is the potter. The Bible refers to him as the potter, and he is trying to make some kind of a vessel out of you, out of me. I don't know if it's going to be a beautiful flower pot or, like Bobby said, it's going to be a spittoon. I don't know. Okay. I'd rather be the flower pot. But it's not my choice. God is sovereign. He already knew before I was ever born, he knew what I was going to be doing. He knew where I was going to be. And you might think, well, you know, you're serving as a pastor. You know what you're going to do. No, folks, past 2 weeks have been a disaster. And God has been trying to get my attention. And that sometimes is what he does with you. He tries to get your attention. And you say, oh, okay, I got to get this all figured out. And he piles something else on and piles something else on and piles something else on. And pretty soon, we look around and we say, none of this can happen. God, what are you trying to tell me? Let me tell you what God's purpose is for you and what God wants for you. Yeah, I can tell you that because the Bible tells me. I'm going to look up Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And Jesus said himself, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, why am I carrying this heavy thing around I call a burden? Why are you doing that? It seems like every time I try to complete some task that there are complications. And I have to stop and ask myself, where did I go wrong? I can't speak for you, but I know that there are times when I wonder if I'm going in the direction that God wants me to go, because things seem to be getting way beyond my control. And I wonder if God is watching what is happening. I shouldn't wonder. God knows everything that's going on in your life and my life. As I thought about it, I wondered if I was trying to do too much. And people, there are times when you and I do try to do too much. And it's time to just stop and sit back and say, okay, God, you've got my attention. Everything is in your hands. I'm going to watch you work. Now, it's hard to do that because we want to handle things. We want to keep our, we want to control things. We want to manage things. And there are times when we just have to stop and let God. Verse, again, a verse in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. And he has used that verse so many times in my life. I can remember when I was back in my 30s, and he used that verse. Be still and know that I am God. And I just had to sit there in my chair and wait. My brain told me I should be out running around doing things. And that still small voice, that little voice that came with the Holy Spirit said, be still and know that I am God. And so I sat and I watched God work and work and work, things I couldn't have done. But he could, and he did. And before it was all over, everything had been worked out. Everything. I thought, man, this is beautiful. And it was, because God did it. Folks, it is so hard for us to leave our expectations with God. We know exactly what needs to happen. We know exactly how to go about things. We think. Many times my expectations are wrong. I'm expecting people to do the right thing, and they're doing things that I did not anticipate them doing. And that makes complications for me. I think, God's still in control. He is controlling things. He is molding me. He's molding you. You know, I should have done this first, but I didn't. I should have prayed about things before I took action. And I should have waited for God to show me the answer. Daniel had a singular problem when he was looking for an explanation concerning the vision that he had. I have things I want to do for the Lord, but sometimes they don't work out the way that I planned for them to work out. Where's the rest that the Lord talked about? You ever ask yourself that question? Where's the rest, Father? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Great way to go through life. There's one word in our opening verse that we must go back and address. So let's look at Acts 1:4 again. Acts 1:4, where we started. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The word that we want to look at in this is the word wait. Jesus told the disciples to be in a specific place and to wait on God, the Father, to fulfill his word. They were to leave their expectations with God. Today we talk about kids' desires. Everything must be had right now or yesterday. Not willing to wait for anything. And sometimes that bothers me, okay? And I'm not a kid. Yet I find that some adults are displaying the same philosophy that the kids are. We want something and we want it right now. We're not willing to wait for it. Now, I'm getting old. Yeah, I am. And I'm finding I have less, and now please, I got to tell you this right now. Please do not pray for patience for me, okay? I've got enough tribulation in my life. Please do not pray for patience. But I find that sometimes I have less and less patience because I think I have less and less time left to do things. And as you get older, you will come to that same place. Got to get this done right now. Maybe it won't get done. As a general rule, our society is a general mess. Even pastors are not good at waiting. We want everything now because we don't believe that there is that much time left in this old world. We're losing our freedoms and we don't know how to intervene to stop the abolition of our civil rights. This poses a question. Are our expectations in the Lord our God, or are our expectations in our government and our society? I don't have any expectations for our government. None. No matter who gets elected in November. We're looking in the wrong direction. We need to be looking up. That's not where we're looking, folks. We're looking out here. We need to be looking up. We need to be leaving our expectations with God. He doesn't make mistakes. And he has all the resources any of us could hope for. He can do it. He can provide it. Even when we can't. I find that if we look at society, it's very disturbing when we consider the way things are going. If we look at God, then we find the only solution for our problems. In our daily Bible reading, are we learning anything? We are supposed to be learning about God. That's why we're here this morning, is to learn something about God. Can we really trust God to come up with solutions for our self-generated problems? Because, folks, most of our problems are self-generated. We made them ourselves. To have expectations with God, I have to be in the Word every day, and I trust that you are. Every day. Reading God's Word so you know. You find some little tidbit, some little word that you sort of leaps off the page. You say, oh, that's my solution. That's my answer. Are your expectations with God, or are they someplace else? Now, I don't want to run ahead of God by making my own decisions. I don't want to do that, but I do it all the time. I do. I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't. And then I look up and I say, God, I've done it again. I need you again to help me get this thing figured out, to help me get this thing straightened out. And every time, folks, every time, he figures it out and he fixes it. If I give him time, if I'm willing to wait, he can fix it. We need to wait for God to give us an answer. I waited, and the answer came in a way that wasn't predictable. I just knew that God had answered my petition, because God is good. He is so good. There are all kinds of things that we can have expectations about. What do you want to accomplish with your life? I want to see this church grow and continue to serve the Lord right up to the time that he calls the church home to be with him. I want to live long enough to make a difference in the lives of people that God has placed in my path and life. I want to be an encouragement to the people that I know. I want to make a difference in their lives, particularly in the lives of my children and grandchildren. Some of you have these exact same desires. The other day, somebody asked me if sometimes children are not a compelling argument for birth control. Because of the messes they can get you into, okay? It caused me to stop and think momentarily, and to think about it. I think I'll rather take children than the alternative. Their love makes up for all the difficulties that you and I face. That brings us back to expectation. I have to tell you that I didn't spend much time with my Heavenly Father talking about the children that he gave Connie and I. They sort of just happened. I'm grateful for them, but I realize that there are some things that I should have done differently. You may do the same. That's the part that we miss when we start thinking and talking about expectations. We don't always anticipate what God is going to do for us. We don't. We just need to get out of his way and let him do it. Now, I've never planned on getting this old. People, you will discover all of a sudden you come to a point and you think, well, I didn't expect to get this old. What am I doing? It just sort of happened. And I understood that there were things that I had planned on doing, yet I hadn't done them. And I'd go back to God and talk about them. And I couldn't do what I had planned. It was too late. And I was no longer able. You know, it's disappointing to realize that the useful younger part of your life is over. But you're going to come to that point. It cannot be recovered. It's not a time to get discouraged, but it is a time to reevaluate what can be accomplished with what is left. Every one of you still serve the Lord in some capacity that you may or may not believe is possible. We are here as a church to encourage every one of you to serve the Lord with what you have now. If you missed some opportunities along the way, don't miss them. Watch for. Be looking for. Don't be afraid to reach outside of your comfort zone and touch another life with the Lord. Can you mess it up any more than they can? No. If it seems that there is nothing for you right now, then encourage someone close to you to reach outside of their comfort zone and take action for the Lord. Let me say that again. If it seems there's nothing for you to do right now, then encourage somebody close to you to reach outside their comfort zone and do something special for the Lord. The worst that can happen is that they fail in their attempt to serve the Lord. Stay close to them so that you can encourage them to try again. God will bless your efforts. And the one encouraged may succeed to accomplish something for our Lord. Your life is not over yet. So don't waste it by quitting before you're done with the job that God has given. Father, oh, we need you. We need you all the time. We don't think so, but we do. We need you all the time. We need to be close to you, and we need to be studying about you in your word so that we know how to respond when we have an opportunity. Thank you, Father, for bringing each one of us to this place today. Thank you for what you have done in the way of provision, in the way of education, in the way of experience. And Father, help us to use those things for you to do your will in your way and in your time. Thank you, Father, that we can place our expectations with thee. Help us to do so. And Father, meet all the needs that are represented by this group. And we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.